This is an ABC podcast.
The Science Show. Imagine a time so vast it can include all of the human occupation of Australia. 65,000 years. Add 100,000, then another. A quarter of a million. Plus, it's all in a cave in Siberia. And three sorts of humans. Your ancestors. A time span like no other. And the story is revealed by fossils and by fragments of genes. Scientists in Leipzig, in Germany, in Russia, yes, the caves in Siberia, and archaeologists in Wollongong. In today's program, we shall also celebrate trees, some 500 years old. Edward de Bono and the astonishing Captain Fitzroy. Could he really have been a better scientist than Darwin? Back to the caves in the Altai Mountains and the paper just published. Professor Bert Roberts at the University of Wollongong. How many times have you been there, Bert?
I think it's probably about the fourth or fifth time now. You know, I've been there many times, starting off in 2012. And each year there's new things to see because, of course, the excavations take place and each year they fold back the deposit and we see new things coming out of them and we take fresh samples each time. So it's exciting every year. You're never sure what you're actually going to see or find.
Yeah, well, the challenge, as far as I can see, one of the greatest collections of sediment DNA ever analysed. But when you say sediment DNA, I have a picture of it kind of lying around, sort of outside bones. You can't just have free living DNA, can you? It would just crumble.
Indeed. You can have free DNA attaching itself just to soil particles, but actually where we think the DNA comes from inside the sediments is from tiny, tiny bits of bone and little bits of maybe hair, skin cells and faeces. I mean, there's lots of faeces, we call them coprolites, and fragments of those wrapped up inside the sediment. So you're right, it really doesn't come from the sediment itself, but from little bits of organic remains left behind in the sediment, but not big enough that you can actually see it with the naked eye. So they are still effectively so small you couldn't extract them any other way.
Going back a bit, who is Denisovan 11?
Yes, Denisovan 11 is a very unusual one. This was found in 2018 and it had a Neanderthal mother and a Denisovan father. And it's the first of its kind where we know that these two archaic hominins actually interbred and left behind a daughter. In this case, so we know that at some point in the time, probably about 80 or 90,000 years ago, Neanderthals and Denisovans did actually meet in person at this site, very young child. So it was a fantastic find, of course, and a very lucky find too, because the chances of finding an actual daughter of two archaic hominins is incredibly rare. But that's what Denisova Cave does. It keeps throwing up surprises and gifts every year.
Any idea what these Denisovans looked like, roughly?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, also last week, there's a very interesting paper on a skull found in China that people think might be a Denisovan. It's found at Harbin, which is a site in China. It was actually hidden away for many years. It was found way back in the 1930s sometime and hidden away since then. And now it's come out, maybe this is a Denisovan, but there's no DNA or proteins from that skull as yet. But it has a large tooth and a very thick cranium, which are some of the characteristics you might expect from a Denisovan. So maybe that's what a Denisovan did look like. Basically, almost an archaic type of Neanderthal, but it wasn't a Neanderthal. It was something a little bit different.
Now, the real significance of the paper you've just published in the journal Nature, and congratulations on that, is that you show, first of all, that these three groups of Denisovans, Neanderthals, and us moderns occupied that set of caves, not necessarily together, but the three groups were there. Starting with the Denisovans, is it going back something like 250,000 years and then a little later the Neanderthals turned up and then who knows, as you imply, the Denisovans and the Neanderthals were coeval, they lived together, and finally we moderns turned up about, what, between 60 and 45,000 years ago. So those numbers are pretty gigantic.
They are. I mean, this is the most comprehensive study ever done of sediment DNA at any site in the world by a huge amount. I mean, it's just a huge effort. I mean, you've got to applaud the Max Planck Institute guys there who actually did this work. I mean, it's fantastic. It's mind-blowing. And from that, you can glean a huge amount of information. You're right, the Denisovans were the first in 250,000 years ago. So we now know who made the first stone tools we see at the site. They were made by Denisovans. Later on, towards the end of that, about 200,000 years ago, in came the Neanderthals. They stayed around with Denisovans for a long period of time until they all disappeared. Well, the Denisovans did 130,000 years ago. Neanderthals stayed on. We don't see them disappearing until much later. But Denisovans disappear until they come back maybe 80,000 years ago. And it's a different type of Denisovan than the type was there before. And those Denisovans persist through maybe to 60 or 50,000 years ago. The Neanderthals too show a slight change over that long period of time from 200,000 years ago to about 40,000 years ago. And during that little last phase, in come our species, Homo sapiens. Whether we actually met those individual Neanderthals and Denisovans, we don't know. It's really hard to tell from the deposits because there's so much time averaging going on in the deposits. Even if they'd have been there at exactly the same time, we wouldn't know it from the amount of deposit we have left behind. But the coincidence in timing of in come modern humans and away go Neanderthals and Denisovans is, well, is it coincidental or is it actually causative? And also at that particular time, there's all sorts of new types of stone tools, bone tools that come in, known as the initial Upper Paleolithic. So it now seems more firm than ever that modern humans made those kinds of bone implements, bone pendants. They were almost decorations, really. And that's the first evidence we have of this direct kind of modern humans being at the site. Before then, we only had stone tools. We didn't have any fossils of modern humans. And now we got a huge amount of genetic evidence that they were really there, maybe 40, maybe even a bit earlier than that, back at Denisova Cave.
Yes, Neanderthals had stone tools, but did Denisovans have much?
They had a range of stone tools that are almost indistinguishable, actually, from the ones that Neanderthals were making at the same time, as far as we can tell. That is, in those levels where you have both Neanderthals and Denisovans, you don't know who was making the stone tools. We can't say all Neanderthals made these and Denisovans made those. They were so similar in many regards. But I think archaeologists are going to be looking much closer now, now that we've got this distinction in the really earliest levels to ones later on, to see whether we can discern differences in the types of stone tools going through time.
Yes, the changes could have been, of course, their interaction of the fact that, who knows, maybe the modern humans drove out the Neanderthals, but it could also have been, you imply in the paper, that a certain amount of climate effects could have been a force for change. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I mean, there are two major turnovers in what's going on in both the human population, but also other mammals. I mean, that's the most remarkable thing about the sediment DNA. You don't just get out information about the humans. We've got a huge range of mammals too. We find bears change, we find hyenas change, mammoths carry all the way through, and a whole range of animals come and go over time. But two big shifts occur, one at about 200,000 years ago, and one at about 100,000 years ago. And the one at 200,000 years ago, life was going from a warm phase into a relatively cool phase. And then 100,000 years ago, we were coming out from about a cool phase into a warm phase. So it seemed to be at those transition points when most of these changes and turnovers in the populations of animals and humans was taking place.
What's so special about these three caves in Siberia? To be occupied for so long, they must have been damn special.
I think as well the preservation conditions are very good. If we could just have large caves that fill in slowly through time in other places, we'd find the same sorts of sequence. It's lucky to a degree that it goes back so far and has a continuance sequence, whereas another cave close by called Chagraskaya Cave actually accumulated very quickly, all within about a few thousand or no more than 10,000 years, packed full of Neanderthal remains. So that's a real snapshot. So it's nice to have these high resolution sites where everything's packed in over a short period of time to compare it with other sites that have got a much longer record stretching back 300,000 years.
It just so happens that the timing of the arrival of the modern humans, what, between 60 and 45,000 years, comes nicely with the out of Africa theory, but makes you still ponder where the other humans came from.
Yes, we don't really know. I mean, there may have been, of course, modern humans somewhere else in Asia, earlier than 40, 50, 60,000 years ago. People have speculated maybe there's evidence for modern humans 120,000 years ago in other parts of Asia, and they may well have been. They may just not have been in this part of Asia, in this northern part, or not represented at least in the Denisova Cave record. The Neanderthals, we know, are widespread all the way from Western Europe, all the way across, possibly into China. And Denisovans, well, we still know very little about them. We have Denisova Cave, we've got a site in Tibet, and maybe we've got this site in China, which have got remains of Denisovans. And that's it. That's all we know about Denisovans, apart from their very high representation in the modern genomes of living Aboriginal Australians.
Two more questions, finally. There was news in the last few days of yet another human somewhere being unearthed. What's that about?
Yeah, so that's now possibly a very early type of Neanderthal out there in Israel, where they keep finding the most remarkable fossil finds. I mean, the beauty, I guess, of sediment DNA is that there's lots of sediment at lots of sites, and there are actually very few human fossils. And that's why these human fossils, the one in Israel and this new one in China, are so interesting in many ways and so lauded, because we find so few human fossils. Now, we're going to find human fossils from time to time, but the reality is we can't rely on finding human fossils to tell the whole of the human history of our species and other species. And sediment DNA provides a way to be not entirely fossil-free, because fossils tell you stuff that sediment DNA can't tell you, but it allows you to fill in the gaps when you don't find fossils, which is, in fact, most of the time at most of the sites.
Finally, a poignant question. You can't even leave Wollongong at the moment this week. But one day, are you going back to Russia, to Siberia?
Oh, yes. I mean, of course, we normally go back every year now, because we're sort of wanting to really cement all the activities. And there's one of those chambers called South Chamber that they're now excavating at the moment. It's the third chamber that they're excavating. We want to collect new samples from there, because there are always new finds being made. And I know our Russian colleagues are excavating there right now as we're speaking. So hopefully some great things are being found as we're talking.
Indeed. And one of the great things that you describe, you've got Svante Paabo and the team in the Max Planck in Germany. You've got the Russians and yourselves all working together very peacefully and happily. It's great what science can do together. And we must also mention, of course, Zenobia Jacobs, who's done so much of the timing of all these samples. It's congratulations indeed.
Thanks so much, Robin.
Professor Bert Roberts, Director of the Centre of Excellence for Biodiversity and Heritage, University of Wollongong, one of the authors of the paper in the journal Nature just days ago.